Hello, everybody. You're listening to Romeo And, a podcast about masculinity, nice guys, sexism, and what it means to be a man in our society today. I'm your host, Street Saint. Dear fat people, be strong. You look great. All right, I feel like I shouldn't have to say it at this point. Our society is becoming more and more conscious by the year. But hey, we supposedly won the civil rights movement in the 1960s, and yet people are still being murdered by police for being black. Fat shaming is almost universally seen as a pretty terrible thing to do nowadays, and yet The Biggest Loser is still one of the most watched shows on NBC. People still subscribe to this notion that if fat people just ate less, they wouldn't be fat anymore. If only. And if you haven't been enlightened yet, let me share a story with you real quick. I used to think that all fat people got fat from eating a lot and not working out. And before I did any circus arts, I figured that I was a pretty healthy guy because I was thin. I ate a reasonable amount, I guess, and I was pretty active. I mean, I climbed trees and stuff sometimes. And then I met a friend who was probably twice my size, weight-wise. But she was a health freak. She went to the gym multiple times a week. She was vegetarian and only ate organic foods. She used to criticize my choice of peanut butter because of the chemicals used to make it. And she was a gymnast. She was super flexible. But she was fat. Or I should more accurately say, and she was fat. And then I compared my lifestyle to hers. Most of my free time was spent playing video games. I didn't eat more than two or three meals a day, but I used to snack all the time. I ate potato chips, Oreos, sugary cereal, fast food, whatever I wanted. And I never thought twice about it because I was thin. When I became an acrobat, I turned a lot of those habits around, but not all of them. I still eat a good amount of junk food. I work out a lot, but not as often as I probably should. And I still play a lot of video games. And I'm just as thin now as I was when I was younger. Just now I have abs too. Privilege. There's that word again. Since I was thin all of my life, I never had to worry about being criticized for what I ate or what I did with my free time. And our obsession with health and fitness being directly related to weight made me believe that the little activity that I actually did was enough to keep me from gaining weight. But when I saw overweight people who shared the same lifestyle, I thought things like, if only she would work out more. And when I saw overweight people who had better workout regimens and better eating habits than I did, I would make an excuse of like, oh, well, they probably only just started working out, or, you know, they probably ate a bunch of crap when they were kids. And then I learned about and met people with medical conditions that prevent them from losing weight. And I read studies about weight gain where a group of people were fed the exact same meals and they gained weight at drastically different speeds. And I met some colloquially fat people who are ridiculously attractive. And Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass peaked on Billboard's Hot 100. And suddenly all the negative ideas I had about fatness were dispelled. But as much progress as we make, there are always going to be some people who prefer to hold on to the past. A Canadian comedian on YouTube, Nicole Arbour, went viral recently with the release of a fat-shaming video called Dear Fat People. Although the primary reason it went viral is because of how incredibly outdated it is. She makes a bunch of jokes about fat people that were probably stolen directly from 90s sitcoms. To be honest, Arbour's video is a lot like the one that that girl from UCLA made about Asians in the library that went viral. where she was bashing Asians and Asian culture. I'm pretty sure she dropped out of UCLA because of all the criticism that she was getting. And this is the real reason that I'm bringing all of this up. We're making progress, people. Conservatives get all up in arms about the country being too PC, but welcome to the 21st century. We finally started to realize that we don't have to go to war with people to change the world. We don't have to murder and slander and insult people. We don't have to use language that's offensive. We don't have to feel like we're better than anyone else just because. We can allow people to do their own thing. The fact that the Dear Fat People video came out and was immediately shot down by the public means we're not standing up for hate speech anymore. It's like what I was saying with cultural appropriation. I think it's fine to adopt someone else's culture because if you do it in such a way that's offensive, people are going to let you know about it. And education is more powerful than any insult. Well, it's more productive anyway. And some people claim that Arbor is being censored by all the negativity she's received about the video. By now, you all know how I feel about censorship. It sucks. And I just said how education is better than insults, so I would never condone people for berating Arbor or anyone else for making a statement. Because there's a difference between saying, your video sucks because it makes fun of fat people and that's not cool, and saying, your video sucks and you're ugly and you should kill yourself. That said, the video is still up as of now. Arbor took the video down at one point, claiming that YouTube had flagged it, but I'm almost positive that was a publicity stunt. So yeah, not censorship, just street justice. And that's why they call me the Street Saint. On this episode of the podcast, we got a special story told by a special guest, so stay tuned. That's coming up next here on Romeo And. If you're a regular listener to Romeo And, you've probably heard me ask you for stories that I could share on the podcast about 1,000 times. Well, this week I'm excited to announce that somebody actually took me up on that offer. On the show with me today is a person who has really been on both sides of the fence. I talk a lot about dating on Romeo and I often say that it kind of sucks. Well, it does if you're a less confident guy like me, but that's because men are expected to be the initiators. They have to be the ones to approach women, which means if you're a woman who likes to take charge, then you're also out of luck dating-wise. And at one point I asked if gay and lesbian people have to deal with the same kind of song and dance that straight people go through. Well, recently I had a conversation with Val, a bisexual woman who has had to deal with being both asked on dates as well as doing the asking. Val shared with me some of her stories about struggling with gender identity and has agreed to share them with all of you. So, without further ado, here's my conversation with Val.
What intrigued me in one of your discussions was you had referred to privilege when it comes to girls being the one who get asked out on dates.
And, right.
I always thought it was the other way around, that guys were the privileged ones to be able to choose and ask the girls they wanted to go out on dates. But I thought about it and I was, you know, just kind of considering your position, and it made me think of, you know, being in high school and being asked out by guys. And then when I was in my 20s, I decided, you know, maybe I was gay, and it was up to me to ask girls out. So I had experience with that too. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, well, to me, it was really hard to say no to guys when they would ask me out in high school when I was younger, because I just felt bad. I was like, well, you know, I'm not immediately attracted to him, but I'll give him a chance. I don't want to just say no. So
right.
I would go out, and then it would turn out I didn't really like the person, or sometimes I did. But then when it came time, you know, later in life when I was gay and I was trying to ask a girl out, it was the scariest thing in the world. But I still felt like it was like I was in charge and I kind of had the upper hand. I felt like I would rather be the one asking the person out mm-hmm. than being asked out.
Right.
And then after that, after I had asked girls out, I decided, you know, I knew I was bi. And so I once asked a guy out, and then things got really awkward. he didn't really appreciate that very much, but he didn't really tell me. He told like all his friends. He was like, that girl asked me out. It made me really uncomfortable. Hmm. So I just had to think about well, who has it better? Guys, girls, being asked yeah. out, not, or waiting to be asked out.
Yeah. And do you find that, well, I mean, I guess you said that, it felt really uncomfortable for you to do the asking, but then it wasn't really that comfortable to be the one asked as well.
Right.
I was going to ask if you felt that you had a preference between like asking or doing the asking, but maybe you don't.
I think there's advantages and disadvantages to both. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on the chemistry of what goes on after the asking or being asked.
Right. And do you have like an example of when you did ask out a guy or a girl, and I guess maybe it felt uncomfortable or?
Well, I'll tell you the story about the girl I asked out that it was the first person I ever asked out, you know, after being in high school and always letting the guys ask me out. I was introduced to this girl, and I just immediately was attracted to her to a point where I knew I had to ask her out no matter what. And mm-hmm. she was very popular. She was like the most popular lesbian in town. And she was always surrounded by this entourage of people. And I would be at parties with her and stuff, but I would, you know, she was always busy with everyone else. And even though we had been introduced, I never really got to get close to her enough to say, hey, do you want to go out sometime? So I got her number from my friend, and for weeks I would sit by the phone and just imagine calling her. And I would even like walk up and down the main road of our town, just hoping that she might drive by and see me and go, oh, I know that girl from a party. but I was really scared to actually make the call. And I remember you had a story like that too, where you were like, oh my God, I have to call this girl. What do mm-hmm. I say? It was the same exact thing. Like, it took me 5 hours one day. I said, you're not leaving the house or putting the phone down until you call her. And then finally I got like hungry and bored enough to actually dial her number. And when she answered, I was like, oh my God, she answered. What do I say now? And I really felt like this is what guys go through. This is what all the guys who've called me have had to like go through. And I could tell some mm-hmm. guys were nervous when they called me, but I was always nice. And she was nice to me too when I called. She remembered me from my friend introducing us. And, you know, I said, do you want to go play pool with me sometime? And she said, yeah, sure. And she was plenty nice, but I was still so nervous. I just couldn't even believe I was on the phone with her. And so I probably just, she said yes, and I probably went, okay, see ya. You know, like, we made a plan, and then I bailed.
Right.
Just because you don't want to, like, when you're that nervous, I don't know, your brain fails you.
You don't want to give yourself the opportunity to say anything stupid.
Right. Oh, yes. Yes, I was really afraid I was going to say something stupid. And then our whole date kind of went like that. Like, I went to pick her up, and I couldn't talk to her. She was being real nice and trying to chat, and I was just like, yeah, okay, uh-huh. And I kept thinking, wow, this is what it's like to ask somebody out on a date and be really nervous. And she kept saying, wow, Val, you're such a great conversationalist. And
you said this was in high school?
This was after high school. This was
after high school.
You know, I was in my 20s, and I'd been in a couple of bad relationships, and really wanted to, you know, branch out and experiment. I don't like the word experiment, because that's not, I mean, I really liked this girl, so it wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to try to be a lesbian now. But, no, I was an adult, but it was my first time being the person to ask the other one out.
Right.
And it was so, just the whole time, I was just in awe that she was even in my car, that we were playing pool together, and she kept trying to talk to me, and I was trying to talk back to her, but it was just kind of like monosyllabic, yeah, uh-huh, no. And she thought it was funny at first, but then she kind of got tired of it, I think. She was kind of like, well, Val, this has been really fun. And, you know, we went out to a restaurant, and I couldn't even eat. I was just like picking at my food, and she was like, what's wrong with you? And I couldn't say, I'm just blown away by you, and I can't even believe you're sitting across from me.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the question that kind of brings up is, how do you deal with that situation? Like, what happens when you can't actually talk to the person that you're trying to?
it really sucks, because you can see it like fizzling right before your eyes, and it went on like that the whole evening, and I kept, you know, kicking myself, like, why can't you talk? You're a pretty good conversationalist with other people. What's wrong here? And I dropped her off at home, and I figured, well, that was a failure, but at least I got to spend like 5 hours with her, and I'll never see her again. But she ended up calling me, and we ended up hanging out, you know, all summer long that year. But it was always kind of like she would call me up when all of her and her friends were getting together, and it was never really like a date situation again. But I kept thinking I still had a chance. And just every time I was around her, even all summer long, I was still so uncomfortable and just so in awe and in that infatuation state where you just can't really say anything intelligible. And I think that's a good sign if you're ever in that state, especially for like months at a time, if you're still like so crazy over someone that you can't talk to them, that's like a good sign that maybe this person there's not real chemistry here. There's attraction and lust and infatuation, but there's not really chemistry.
Right. You know, I mean, obviously you want it to work out with this person because you are so infatuated by them. But in that kind of situation, maybe it's not really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing there that can really work from that. Like, if you're not able to. Well, I mean, I've read a lot of things about dating where, like, you don't necessarily want to be Like there's always like somebody who's in like the position of power.
Mm-hmm.
And if like one person is above the other, then there's always going to be that element where there's one person who's just like always doing things for the other person and like not vice versa. And that doesn't really make for a healthy relationship.
Right.
So in that situation, you either have to miraculously come up with some deep confidence somewhere, or it's probably just not going to work out.
Right. Yeah. And that was a hard lesson to learn, because I kept thinking, you know, I would leave her house and go talk to another friend, and I would suddenly be able to talk again. And I was like, why can't I talk around her?
Mm-hmm.
And just very frustrating.
Right. So you said you spent the rest of the summer with her, mm-hmm. and you like hung out. Was there any closure there, or was there like a time when you officially broke things off, or was that necessary? You just like realized, okay, this isn't happening.
Kind of all of those things happened. I realized it wasn't happening, and I went away to school, and she started going out with one of her entourage girls. Mm. And, but what happened with her is, you know, 10 years later, when Facebook came around, we befriended each other, and she was in my town, and we ended up hanging out, and I had got over all the whatever it was that kept me from being able to talk around her, and we ended up having a pretty good friendship like 10 years later. So that was a surprising gift from the universe or something. That was closure, yeah. Really. 10 years later, I got kind of closure on that.
Yeah. That's nice. I guess the universe gave you time to kind of figure things out.
Yeah, I had to learn a few other things in that time, too. So.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I wish that would happen for more people.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I mean, I know that I always kind of go back and wonder like, oh, well, you know, what was kind of going through their head when this was happening, and or like when I was trying to ask them out. And like sometimes I do want to kind of like reconnect with those people and just kind of not even like try to go on a date with them, but just, you know, have a conversation with them and like actually talk to them as people rather than like ogle over them.
Yeah, like once you get past the you move on a little bit and you realize, oh, I could talk to that person now. It mm-hmm. wouldn't be a problem. But I suppose you've been in the situation where you've asked someone out and it was, you get there on the date and you're kind of like, oh my God, what do I say now?
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, I think that's, you know, people talk a lot about, and especially like straight guys who put women on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And I think that's basically what it is. They kind of like see the woman as like, oh wow, like she's so perfect and everything, and why would she even like talk to me? And that kind of mindset just puts you in a position where they're no longer like a person, they're just like above you in every way, and you can't even speak to them.
I mean, I understand, I felt that way about guys and girls. I've put guys on a pedestal before too. Mm. You know, it does go the other way. And, right. But I think, I don't know, girls now that think of themselves as empowered and feminist are kind of divas, and they do put off that I'm perfect, you have to win me sort of vibe.
Right. I've definitely seen that as well.
But gosh, we all have to remember we're just people. We're all people.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy what infatuation can do to you.
Absolutely. So why don't we switch gears? You said you also had a story about a guy that you asked out.
Yeah. Right after I failed with this girl, I went off to school, and there was a guy in my class, and it wasn't a big class. It was 20 people, and we all saw each other every day, and There was one guy who, he would hold the door open for me and tell me I looked nice, and I was still fresh from being wounded by this other person, so I was kind of like, yeah, yeah, leave me alone. But we struck up a friendship, and we would, you know, we would be in class all day, and we would be drawing cartoons of our professors and joking around, and I, you know, finally I realized, oh my God, he's so nice, he's so cool. And I ended up asking him, hey, do you want to go to the Salvador Dali Museum, which was in the town? And he told me yes. He said, yes, that sounds fun. And I wasn't even really asking him as a date. I was just kind of like, oh, we have fun drawing together and doing all this stuff. Let's go to the museum. And I liked him and all. I kind of was developing a crush on him. But, you know, I wasn't saying, hey, let's go out on a date. Mm-hmm. But he said yes, and then on the day we were supposed to go, he called me up and said, made an excuse and ditched me. Mm-hmm. And I took it at face value at the time. And then like a few weeks later, one of our older friends in the class, he came up to me and said, you know, Carl was really uncomfortable that you asked him out. And I was like, really? Oh my gosh. Like having been kind of in the lesbian world where, you know, gender didn't really matter in the asking out process, because a girl had to ask a girl out. Mm-hmm. Being a girl asking a guy out was still unacceptable. And he didn't say it to my face, but I heard it secondhand from one of our other friends, and that was a little hurtful. And then kind of throughout the rest of the semester, rumors spread about me that I was like this pushy dyke person and all the dumb rednecks in my class. Sorry to sound judgmental, but there's like dumb rednecks down here in Florida. They really started picking on me. Like they would kick me and step on my shoes and stuff while I was walking. Wow. Called me names and scratched slurs in my car and stuff. Just because I asked a guy out.
That's really shocking to me. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he did like you. And then, I don't know, I'm surprised that he was so put off by you asking him out.
I was pretty surprised too. But by the end of the year at school, I sort of figured out that he was gay, but he was in the closet and he wanted maybe like a fake girlfriend to be seen with, but he didn't really want to go out on dates with her.
I see.
Like he wanted to hold doors open for girls so that he appeared straight and say, oh, you look nice today. So that was the theory I got at by the end of school. But I was pretty surprised at how badly that went over.
Yeah, that's about as badly as it could go, unfortunately. Yeah, I was thinking like, well, maybe he had like this whole plan laid out of like how he was going to ask you out. And then you asked him first and he's just like, no, this isn't how it's supposed to work.
No, unfortunately, I don't think he was planning on asking me out. I think he was getting a little scared when I push past the friendship boundaries.
I see.
So, yeah, another lesson learned. But
I guess the takeaway from all of this is the world is crazy, and you can never really know.
Right. I think I've heard in your on your podcast that you would be thankful if a girl asked you out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Really? What if didn't like her? What if it was a girl you were like, oh, God, why did she ask me out?
I mean, and that's actually happened before. Uh-huh. when she asked me out, I felt kind of almost as if it was like karma punishing me. It's like all this time I was just like, oh, why is this so hard? I wish a girl would ask me out. And then like one did and I was just like, oh, but not her.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe it was. Looking back on it, I mean, I guess I was pretty immature about it, but like I don't necessarily think that it was a bad thing, or that I certainly didn't dislike her for asking me, or like I didn't feel like she was, I don't know,
crossing the boundaries.
Yeah, I don't think it was like crossing a boundary or anything like
breaking
that.
Breaking the gender laws.
Yeah, I think it was just like, oh no, now I feel uncomfortable about this person asking me out. Yeah. And now I have to feel what all these other girls have probably felt about me asking them out. I think that's probably what it was. It was just kind of like a rude awakening of like, oh, well, I guess it's not all great for women.
Yeah, there's pros and cons.
Yeah.
Which that's what your statement made me think about, is the pros and cons.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, does one have it better than the other?
I certainly don't like to, I don't like to make comparisons, especially when both sides are not really great. it's just like, oh, well, is one better than the other? And so it's like, well, this kind of sucks about this side, and this kind of sucks about this side. We should try to focus on those things and try to make them better.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of people get into when, you know, like feminists versus like men's rights activists.
Yeah.
Kind of like bumping heads, because feminists want to make women's lives better and men's rights activists want to make men's lives better. And they think they have to be at odds with each other for that reason.
And that's gotten just like, really bad lately.
Yeah.
That dichotomy has definitely grown since I was younger.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, for me, I'm like, well, theoretically, you're doing two completely different things. So there should be no reason for you to be at odds with each other. But I mean, there's a whole argument for why that's happening. But I wanted to ask you the question, like, when did you, I guess, like, come out as bi, or like, when did you kind of like have that realization that you might also be interested in women?
Well, I knew all my life, basically, and full disclosure, I'm actually transitioning to male later this year. I'm going to start HRT.
Oh, wow.
So I've known that I was gender nonconforming, to use the now term, since I was a toddler, really. But I, you know, growing up, I was told, no, you're a girl, you have to do this, and boys are going to ask you out, and you're going to say yes. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I felt like I could even make that choice to admit it to myself. So in my 20s, to answer your question, is when I said, well, I think I'm going to try something different.
And so the story that you told of the girl you asked out, was that was your first time dating a woman? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess now since you have kind of been on either side, do you ultimately think it was easier to approach a woman or easier to approach a man, or?
I don't think it would be easier to approach based on gender. It was easier to approach the guy because I thought we were friends first.
Right.
But if I was like totally infatuated with a guy and putting him on a pedestal and like in the same state I was when I asked the girl out, it would be just as hard.
Right.
You know, it really isn't a matter of gender. It's just a matter of how you're feeling about that person.
Right. I think I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. People put a lot of focus on gender and dating, but I think we should all be able to ask each other out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think now more so than ever, we're starting to kind of see gender as a more fluid thing, which I think is great. And the more that happens, like I've been talking a lot about race lately, I feel like gender is going to eventually get to that point where we're no longer able to say things in like black and white terms of like, okay, men versus women. It's just like, oh, well, men, but like men who are born male or like transitioning to male, or like where do we draw that distinction? And once that line gets completely blurred, then we have to come up with a different way to classify people.
Yeah, or not classify people. It's right now is really turbulent times with gender and with race. I think we're all just kind of figuring out a new way of interacting with each other, because the old way was just so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all the anti-feminist stuff online, and there's a lot of racial tension, obviously, in the news and stuff. And I'm just like, why are we like this? Why are we still focusing on these weird things that just don't matter?
Right. Well, I don't think I have any other questions off the top of my head. Is there anything else that you wanted to add, or?
I think I told what I was thinking about. I just wanted to say thank you for having me on.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the show. But yeah, I think that's all.
Well, it's been fun talking to you.
Yeah, it was great getting to know you. Thanks again for listening to the podcast and agreeing to come and help me out and share your story.
No problem.
Great. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Be sure to tune in next week, because I'm going to talk some more about some of the issues Val and I raised in this conversation. And if you have any comments or questions about Val or her story or any of the issues that we talked about, send me an email. Let me know your thoughts and I can address them in the episode next week. But that's it for this episode of Romeo And. As always, if you too have a story that you want featured on this podcast, send me a message via email, contact@stsaint.com, or give me a call, 516-514-7878. Also, be sure to follow me on social media, like Romeo And on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter @street_saint. New episodes of Romeo And are published weekly, so make sure you get every episode when it's released by subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the podcatcher of your choice. But if you do nothing else, just go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a 5-star rating. There's nothing more valuable for the show than getting a bunch of good ratings from all of you guys. Thanks again for listening. I am Street Saint, and I'll see you next time.